Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. We're up to episode 3 now. And if you haven't checked out the first two episodes, we touched on the top 5 boys from each Vic Metro club and each Vic Country club. That was episodes 1 and 2, respectively. And this week, we turn our attention, and next week, we turn our attention to the girls. And we're going to start with the top 5 girls from each Vic Metro club. As usual, I'm one of your co-hosts, Nathan Seppi, joined by my other co-host, Jonty Ralph-Smith. And Jonty, girls football continues to grow and grow, and we saw that last year, a terrific, terrific end with that grand final where we saw the quality on display. We saw at the end of the year the under-17s future game as well, and this metro region is building really nicely. So let's get straight into it. We'll start with the Calder Cannons.
Yeah, it's going to be a super draft, I think they're talking about, in 2024 in terms of the talent. It certainly is very, very obvious and has been for a couple of years how strong this crop is. At the Calder Cannons, the main player to talk about is Kyla Forbes. She's got a beautiful left foot, a sweeping left foot. She takes the game on and is ready for a big 2024, I think. I really liked what I saw from her in 2023, she's really good in tight spaces, able to get the ball out. She's got that power, and she's also good at hitting the scoreboard as well. So a goal-kicking midfielder is something that everyone loves. Played Vic Metro as a bottom major as well, which underlines her class.
Touch on Maddie Albrecht, who you notice her with that speed. She's so electric through the middle when she goes. So you notice her football just by the way she kind of takes the game on and allows herself to get herself involved. So quick and small, and that's the way to define her, but she does it really well.
And people at Calder, we went out and did a recording session to get some content from the Calder Cannons girls. So keep an eye on our channel for some of that to get drip fed throughout the year. Said that she seemed to have gained even more pace over the summer, which is hard to imagine because she was already up there. I would argue was one of the quickest players in the girls competition. It'll be interesting to see the testing day results, what she runs the 20 meter in, because I think it'll be up there. But certainly what she does up forward is a real asset for Calder. And if they're going to kick some big scores, I expect she'll be involved, not just with that speed, which enables her to set up goals, but also with her pressure to cause repeat stoppages and keep the ball inside 50.
Ava Gerarda, very aggressive intercept defender and does that role really well. She's trialled during the preseason up forward. Where's her football going to take her as the year goes on?
Yeah, I think she's one who, after playing some footy up forward in 2023, we'll go back in 2024. That's where her best footy has been played throughout her career, both Coates League and locally. That's where she looks a lot more natural. So I think we'll see her back down there, and that's where she can really take those marks. She can cause turnovers. She can cause panic among opposition forwards as well with that strength and physicality that she brings to the contest. And then she's got a good kick as well, a really strong kick, a penetrating kick to clear defensive 50. So I expect that she'll be one that, if Calder are up against it a little bit, she'll become a real important presence down there.
Grace Azzopardi, one that was pretty much cemented in Calder's backline as 2023 went on, and a really good rebound defender that has a really nice kick outside of D50 and utilises that to her advantage, just smart with her exit strategies. Where's the expansion with her football in 2024 going to lead her?
Yeah, well, I think the big thing with her is, like you say, she was that rebound defender in 2023, but the belief is among people inside the four walls of the Calder Cannons is that she's really good in traffic, she's good in tight, and they want to sort of promote that skill set, but also that decision-making. She makes good decisions, she doesn't panic under pressure, so they do want to put her in positions where she can showcase that, so get her to contests, put her in the midfield, and show that she's poised, she's composed, and will make good decisions, and that'll lead to some good things for the Cannons.
Others for Calder that will pop up throughout the year that you expect to just see things trickle along well?
Yeah. So I think Jayla Rutley is the main one to touch on there. So obviously she's got really good shutdown ability. She's really strong, and she averaged 5.8 tackles a game. So that speaks to how good she is defensively. And then they've got a couple of 19-year-olds who are returning in Amelia Wright and Ali Spegan, who will share the ruck duties. They're really excited about them. But if you want to hear more about some 19-year-olds who have signed VFLW contracts, some who on the boys' side might be mid-season prospects and some who are returning to Coates League clubs, then tune into our podcast in a couple of weeks, because we will be touching on some of those 2005-born talents and where they've ended up, whether it's State League, back at Coates League, footy or otherwise.
Exciting. Stay tuned for that one. Move now to Eastern, who, agonisingly close to a premiership last year, and them, along with Oakley, who we'll touch on pretty much straight after them, look, they're stacked again. They'll go the distance you imagine, and if not the distance, very, very close to it. You have to start at the top with Georgie Brisbane, who really did have her moments in 2023. Definitely a player that, in terms of a forward, she thrives off. She's a byproduct of good delivery, and she really capitalizes on it. I think there's still a lot more to explore with her football, because I do think there were times in 2023 where probably couldn't get her rhythm and her momentum going. So I think there's still a lot of scope with her game, because she's one that will take on that contested role even more and learn and build on that. So excited to see where football takes her, because she's a pretty exciting prospect that I think will eyes will be on her pretty quickly.
We talk about so much about Ash Sentra, and you know, we'll probably talk about her contested marking next week. But if Ash Sentra isn't the best contested mark in the Girls Talent League this season, then it's Georgie Brisbane. What she provides up forward for the Rangers is outstanding. So I'm really looking forward to what we see from her. For a 10-minute period in the third quarter, and I think I've spoken about this a couple of times, probably more so off the record, but for a 10-minute period in that third quarter of the under-17s game at Frankston, she absolutely turned it on and was the best player on the ground by the length of the Flemington straight, just took the game by the scruff of the neck, kicked a couple of goals in that period, and yeah, hopefully she can put it together, string together some consistent footy. She's a real leader as well. When we did the Eastern Rangers content shoot, I think that was something that was really obvious to me, was how big a leader she is for them. But yeah, her ball handling and her understanding of leading lanes inside 50 is something which sets her apart. And then the other one who's in the AFL Academy, or the player who is in the AFL Academy, Georgie Brisbane, of course, in the Vic Metro Summer Training Hub, is Grace Babar, and her run and energy coming out of the back line is something which is really important for Eastern, but probably more so is her ability to shut down. And I know you've been big on this, particularly throughout 2023, Nathan, is that she's really well balanced and she's a defend first player. We know a lot of halfbacks like to offend and show what they're able to do with the ball, but what she does without the ball, equally, if not more important.
I latched onto her in pre-season last year, and that was that game against Dandenong and I still don't think I found a player, boys or girls, that has the same intensity Grace does when it comes to her one percenters. She will follow up and chase up every ball until it's won, and it's just the little things she does that I think she does better than anyone else in the competition. And like you touched on, she's excellent defensively, arguably had her best game in the Talent League in the grand final, which shows she lives up to the big moments, still has another level in 2024 to give. So that run and drive will always be there for her. And over everything, I just think it will be those one percenters that lift her and elevate her up the ranks as the year goes on, because yep, she'll always be well known for that run and drive and will always stay with her game. It's those other little things she does that are extremely underrated in this system.
Yep. No, absolutely. Grace Ballany, and another one who's got a lot of presence, and she played some really good footy. Her ability to take marks and jump high and kick it and find targets was something which is really good. She just looks classy when she plays footy. So she's one who is really exciting with ball in hand, and she does have that X factor about her. She won the best on ground in her local grand final for Linda Fernie Creek last year, and hopefully she's one who can really elevate, and I think at least get that Vic Metro trial at minimum this season.
100%. An ultra competitive player as well that has the scope to be in that midfield as well, but that resting inside forward kind of role.
Yeah.
As well, leads really well, good above her head. There's not a lot to dislike about the way she plays. And I think we kind of saw how good she can be towards the back end of 2023, and a lot left. And it's scary to think that Eastern team went pretty deep with a lot of raw bottom ages in that sense.
And double bottom ages.
Yeah, that was still developing their game. So a big preseason for those girls. So yeah, she's one that 100% fits in that category.
Yeah, Georgia Knight is another one up forward. So we've talked about obviously Brisbane and Ballany plays up forward as well. But Georgia Knight, 21 goals in 2023, including two bags of four, one of those being against the eventual premiers, the Oakley Chargers. So she's one that just adds so much energy into that forward 50. Both, you know, her goal celebrations is the obvious thing that comes to mind, but even the way she plays her footy, the ability to get separation. And she's one who I think in terms of what she does at ground level, I think will be really important. They obviously don't have Alicia Pisano anymore, who's gone on to bigger and better things, but she's going to, I guess, try and assume that role to the best of her ability. And it'll be interesting to see how far she does go, because she's one who does have lots of avenues to go, and she'd be pretty difficult to match up on. She kicks the ball around the corner pretty well, which is a good asset in the girls' game.
She's also good at dad jokes. Go to our channel. If you want to see her say some dad jokes, she's pretty good at that as well. But funnily, that does match her personality. She's very bubbly and one that brings an energy on the field. You do feel her, and she'd be a terrific teammate in general. And yeah, I'd add that separation is something I think adds to her game, that she does read the flight of the ball well, where she knows where to sit off and knows when to attack the ball really well. So excited to see how she advances her game and really staples herself as, you know, the next Alicia Pisano of the competition as that small forward role. So excited to see where her football takes her. Evie Parker is one that could, as the year goes on, get similar comparisons to what Hayley McLaughlin did. Just a real workhorse up and down the wing, and that's something she's built as the years have gone on. It's just a really elite aerobic capacity, but she'll continue to build on her fundamentals as well. So a lot to like with Evie. She's a bit taller than Hayley was as well. Yeah. So she's got height to her advantage.
Yeah, certainly. And like you say, like, and Evie's not the only one who has the ability to take her footy to the next level, and isn't the only one with that aerobic capacity that you talk about that the Eastern Rangers have got. So it'll be interesting to see who she plays on the wing with, because Emma Stilvey and Stacia Stevenson are a couple that come to mind that are high forwards and have that sort of ability to get up the ground and play their role really well, that could actually go onto the wing. And I'll start with Stacia Stevenson. I think it's her pressure that's something which is really good, and she delivers it really well inside 50. And then Emma Stilvey also plays Vic Premier Cricket for Box Hill, by the way, but she's really skinnily built. But yeah, she's got that aerobic capacity as well, and she's one who has, I guess, got the kicking efficiency and the class below her knees as well to hold her in really good stead.
Yeah, great finisher around goal and a super self-driven character, so has a lot of capacity in her game to build a really versatile brand that can move around the ground. And probably the last one, well, two more that I want to quickly mention, but Mackenzie Board, she'll be playing as that main ruck this year.
Yeah.
And we saw her play that second ruck to Jess Vukic at the back end of 2023.
Yep.
A really good tap ruckman, so great technically with her craft and can get it going forward. Also, it's the scoreboard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, exactly. 10 goals in her 14 games. So, yeah, she can rest forward, and she did have to do that with Jess Vukic, obviously taking the primary mantle last season. But she's a real physical sort of player as well, and I think when you sort of meet her, you understand that, and that's something which is going to hold her in good stead. So it'll be interesting to see how she goes this season in terms of her forward ruck split, because she has got the ability to outmuscle her opponent, whether it be in the forward line or the ruck. And Molly Patterson, another one to round out that really strong Oakley top end sort of talent.
Oakley.
Eastern. Ahead of myself.
But yeah, she'll be a pretty good utility player for the Rangers. She's learning to play a variety of roles as the year goes on. Will play a majority in the midfield, but did play a bit of backline in 2023. So excited to see where her football takes her, and Easton still have even more underneath that in their bottom age crop. So excited to see where they end up at the end of the year, because they will be looking for a bit of revenge, you'd have to admit, after that loss in the grand final. Move on to Northern, and we'll start from the top with Zoe Hargreaves, who easily the barometer of that team. If you watched Northern last year, she's stands out that easily. The way she attacks the footy, a natural footballer, I think, just the way she goes about it, works really well in transition, a great outlet player in general. So, and also the defensive pressure, probably something about her game as well that I think needs to be highlighted. Excited to see how she advances it, because she was really prominent in that Northern team and was arguably one of their best players during 2023.
Yeah, certainly. Just an explosive clearance winner. So 5.3 clearances per Coates Talent League game in 2023 and 11 contested possessions. So she's someone who's really important in the midfield, got the opportunity to represent Vic Metro as a bottom major, played in the All-Stars game as well. So she's well regarded already in the talent pathway system, but she might be seen as a high back at times in 2024. So that's where the versatility to her game might come into it, using her sort of power off that half back line. Would you believe that last season was the first that she had in the Northern Knights program? You wouldn't believe it, would you? Because she's one who just looks so natural at the level and looks like she has had that background for a couple of years in the Futures program and that sort of thing. But yeah, one to keep a close eye on. Holly Ridewood as well is another one that we ought to touch on. So she finished third in their best and fairest. She's versatile and really athletic. But the big thing I think that separates her is she's a winger, but she's not afraid of the contest. She's not afraid of winning the hard ball. She averages 4.3 tackles per game and 7.1 contested possessions, which is, I think, elite for an outside player. And another one who had her first year in the program last year. So these Northern girls seem to have adapted pretty well to Coates League footy and will be better for the run last year and no doubt ready to take that next step in 2024.
Well, 100% makes an impact going forward as well. One that just reads the drop of the ball really well. So yeah, exciting. Yep. And like you say, with only 1 year in the system, they'll only keep getting better, and they'll just find themselves by the end of the year as some of the elite players in this league.
Yep.
Winnie Buckley, really clean at the contest. One that, again, just improved as 2023 went on and was one of Northern's stronger girls. So she can win a hard ball. She's a tough player.
Tough is a really good summary for her. I remember going out to Parade College last year and watching a Northern intra-club match. I reckon she must have laid about 20 tackles. She's so good in that sweeper role. In the middle, she's a tackling machine, averaged 6.6 per Coates Talent League game last year. Really coachable is the word out of the Northern Knights. And yeah, she's just got an excellent attitude as well. So she's one to keep a close eye on. She's got a couple of years of experience in the program, and you do see that come through with her game sense and awareness as well.
Talia Plunkett, probably one of the main four in that Northern team, a really good offensive threat, another one that's really hard at the contest as well, provides a good outlet in transition, a lot to like with her game.
Yeah, Northern are going to be sneaky good in the midfield this year when you think they're going to have Hargreaves, Winnie Buckley and Talia Plunkett all in there at their best, you would assume. So yeah, certainly Talia Plunkett is one who has a good tackle technique. She's really competitive, and not only is she good in the contest, but she complements the other two well in that her in-out ability is really good. She's really balanced, and she's able to get the ball, then take it out of the congestion as well. So she does average 3.1 clearances and 7.2 handball receives. So she's someone who can use it really well by foot, and I guess that's an area of her game she'll look to continue to develop, and we might see her up forward as well because she does have that goal sense. I guess if you're going to list off a couple of others, you'd probably talk about Mary Robinson, I suppose, up forward as that sort of hit-up player, and Kira Lemire. So keep an eye on those couple of players. So you would think that Northern have put themselves in a pretty good position for 2024 with the exposure of some of those players. Not just those players, but a little bit like what you said with Eastern, they've got some double bottom ages. Phoebe Hargreaves, a sister of Zoe, for example, who have had some really strong exposure already.
100%, and they made finals last year, so they were a threat last year. They'll be a threat again this year, and now moving to the 2023 Premiers, who only get better, which is pretty scary for the rest of the competition in Oakley. A lot to go through here.
Yeah.
I mean, this one's hard, along with Eason. We say top five. This is quite hard to give a top five. There are so many girls who could end up as a top five player in this team come the end of the year, but we have to start with grand final best on ground, AFLW Academy, Sienna Tallariti.
Yeah.
She's elite, and that's the word you have to identify her with the habits she has on the football field. Just a terrific intercepting ability. Terrific kid. She'll get more midfield time as well in 2024. What isn't there to like about her? Because she's just such an exciting and just really well-rounded player that executes so well.
executes outstandingly. Yeah, that grand final performance was out of this world. It was just every single time it felt like Easton looked to go forward or got a little bit of momentum, she would take an intercept mark. And like you say, she kicks it well, so she would find a target and has a really long kick as well out of the back half. So that's something that's really important for Oakley. But she's one who's already really strongly built as well, so that's another element to her game. She's really physical, so hard to beat one-on-one and really irrepressible. So she gets into position early, if you look at her on the football field, and like you say, really well-rounded. What's next for her would be to dominate the national champs. She did the same way that she did the grand final of the Coates League, but that's a pretty tall task as she set the benchmark pretty high indeed at Icon Park that day.
Definitely my favourite charger, and I was big on her from 2023, and along with Georgie Brisbane, probably the top two key forwards in the competition in Emma McDonald, who does not drop a contested mark. One of those players who, like, it could be coming at them from any angle, but it'll just land in their hands no matter what. I guess the next step for her is just really zoning in, executing every time with her kicking, because that was the one thing that was letting her down at times. But she always makes scoreboard impact. She's not one that will let you down. She'll impact the game. She's got the versatility to play as a centre half back as well this year, and I think we will see that as the year goes on, show her defensive capabilities, because we know offensively she's so strong.
Yeah, you talk about her scoreboard impact, but also the ability to become a little bit more accurate. 14 goals probably doesn't do justice to how dominant she was last year. That's 1.1 goals per game. Yeah. So, yeah, she'll look to become a even bigger threat in 2024 in the AFLW Academy as well. She averaged 3.8 marks per game. So that talks to, I guess, how good she is in the air, like you talked about. She kicked 4 goals against the Northern Knights, and she also had a really strong game for Vic Metro where she kicked a bag as well. So when she's on, and she really rides that wave of momentum. So they're clearly the top two, you'd say, for Oakley. And then below that, you could throw a blanket over 8 or 9 of them who are all in sort of that category that really could push into Vic Metro as well. We'll run through a few of them, and we'll start with Maggie Marnie, who is an aggressive midfielder, probably one of the bravest players in the competition. She puts her head over the footy. She's really strong, and often she's the one that comes out with it and extracts it and sets up her teammates.
Physical and dynamic. State hockey player as well. So she was balancing that last year. So she didn't even play the full season. She was going between sports. So she'll be committed to footy this year, but she's got a lot under her belt in terms of she knows she's got a good aerobic capacity with that hockey background. Great inside mid. I think we haven't really touched, like, even got to the surface with her football. So exciting prospect. Where do you even look now?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll just go back and forth here because there is a lot here. Abby Vicino, who surprisingly, and maybe unsurprisingly to a lot that are inside the club, but as an outsider, she finished very high in the league BNF. She was a very consistent performer, really good leg speed and lateral movement in her game, just a general great runner, and she gets to contest really quickly. And kicking lanes, that's a really good style of her game that stands out. So one that will, I think she's got the respect now that she deserves after a really consistent 2023, and she'll zone in on exactly what makes her game shine.
Yeah, certainly. She's a very powerful player, and I guess if she didn't have the respect already, then I think she's gain the respect very quickly and has gained respect within the club with how she's approached pre-season. She's been one who has really impressed with the way she's gone about it in the 2024 pre-season. So I expect to see her come out firing at the start of the season. We'll go now to Sarah Pousty, who I think playing between the mid and the wing, she's a capable inside player, a capable outside player. She's a good breakaway sort of player as well, and she's a workhorse, but she's also very good aerially, so she can take a mark, and I think that's a really good feature of her game. We talk about it with players not enough when it comes to midfielders and forwards, how they can impact in the air, but she's certainly one who can do so.
Well, just general great grunt work, great grunt work as well, and she'll improve on her ground balls a bit because she's great aerially, but it'll be that focus on the ground and how she wins it down low, and just a supreme athlete in general. So one that will always be on the radar as 2024 continues. Emily Gladman, that's who I'm going with next.
Yep. Oh,
it's hard to pick here. I came took everyone by surprise when she went to Queen Elizabeth Oval, and neither of us were able to watch this game, but we head onto the stats and see 9-1, and we're like, this is just like unbelievable.
Yep.
9 is where she was put on the map. But besides that one game, Brin's pressure and a great kick for goal, evidently.
Yep.
But can play mid-forward rotation, and she'll spend time pretty deep inside forward 50 and play that role where she was executing at the end of 2023.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there with Emily Gladman. Hopefully she does prove that wasn't a flash in the pan performance, and I think we have seen enough glimpses to suggest that she will be able to do it a bit more consistently. Now, probably a charger who put her name on the map a little bit later in the season, but it was very hard to take your eyes off once you did realise how good she was Charlotte Brewer in defence. She's one who's very competitive. She's hard to beat in the air. She defends first. She isn't one who likes to sort of break away and you know, get the ball and kick it clear defensive 50. She's one who will be really accountable to her opponent and doesn't allow them separation. She applies a lot of pressure. She can play on a variety of opponents. She isn't, I guess, disturbed by the challenge of some of the bigger names in the competition. She's really composed. She's got a really good mindset. And I think she's got a really good CV. And I guess you'd say that's headlined by the way she was able to shut down Alicia Pisano in the Coates Talent League Grand Final last year. Now, you'll go to the app and you'll say, yes, but, you know, Alicia Pisano still kicked 3 goals. Like, did she really close her down? But you'd say that Charlotte Brewer comfortably won that battle. And when the game was there to be won, particularly in the first couple of quarters, Charlotte Brewer came out on top. It was only a little bit later in the game we sort of felt like Oakley had it just about wrapped up where, yeah, Alicia Pisano kicked a couple and did look a little bit dangerous. But by and large, when the ball came in and they were one-on-one, you'd say Charlotte Brewer won the contest more often than Alicia Pisano, and not many players were able to shut down Alicia Pisano last season.
She kicked 3 goals every game, no matter who she played on. But yep. That you are right. She did definitely win that contest. Two more that I just want to quickly talk about. Jacinta Baxter plays the win and half forward really well. A strong runner, and that's noticed in her running patterns.
Yep.
A general hard worker, and Lucinda Smith, capable of playing on the win in 2024, working on an aerial contest as the year goes on. So, yeah, look, if Oakley aren't there at the end of the season, be very surprised. They're very stacked. And the team now, they're crosstown rivals, cross-suburb rivals. Sandy Dragons, who didn't make finals last year but had one of the hardest draws in the competition. But I think this year they are primed to make a really good run, and they will again have that type of hard fixture, just generally, you know, being a metro team. But they beat Oakley last year. They beat Northern.
Yeah, they did.
They should have beaten Eastern.
Yep, if not for a big comeback. Yeah. Yep.
They pretty much took it to every big team.
Yep.
And it was off the back of some of these players. And start with Sophie Mackay, who probably my number one pick, if there was, you know, she'll be father-daughter, so not sure where she would end up in the draft. But
yeah,
she's an elite footballer. She's very similar to her sister in the way they play, with Abby just being a real talented mid who can just get the ball out really craftily. She's just a fantastic, consistent performer, Sophie, and that's in her game. Knows how to win the ball out of the contest, but generally around the ground, she's really smart with how she positions herself to get the give and receive and move the ball forward. An agile player that just understands her craft so well. A pure footballer, and that's obviously in the blood, but terrific. And I'm happy as a Carlton person that she'll end up at Carlton's AFLW. She's terrific.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Someone who, when you watch the game, I think what'll be really evident with her is in the centre, her ability to break away from the contest and drive the ball forward. That's something that's so evident in her game. Her ability to win clearances. Now, her game out at Frankston last year, her under-17s, All-Stars game, got her best on ground honours, and that adds to what's already a really long list of honours for her that she achieved in 2023. She also played really well, I thought, in the Vic Metro trial game out at Avalon Airport Oval. So there's a couple of games where she did play at a higher level than just Coates Talent League, and she was able to dominate against the best in the country. So certainly she's one who'll be there or thereabouts early on draft night if it was held tomorrow, and obviously they've still got a lot of footy to play, but you think she'll just take that natural next step. She's one who's really exciting, as is Davey Flockhart, another one who's in the Vic Metro Summer Training Hub from the Sandringham Dragons. She's a clean, smooth-moving midfielder who... I remember the game against Calder right at the start of the girls' season. She absolutely dominated, and I think that's where she really took some people by surprise as a bottom ager, what she was able to do on what was a pretty wet day. She looked like she was playing dry weather footy and was really polished below her knees and hit all her targets. So she's someone who has a lot of potential going into 2024.
Terrific kick. Really good strength and just terrific in transition in general. She's one that understands the way the game works and game structures really well, adapts to any way the coach will set up a game, and she'll build her versatility as the year goes on and a general understanding of the game, which is already so good. So exciting times for Daisy, and one now who I believe has genuine X factor, and I think this was evident all the way back from under 16s level at futures level, is Kira Galaminda, who has a way of working around inside 50 that just always capitalizes on every opportunity, knows how to hit the scoreboard, a real excitement machine that I think we've only seen a little bit of what she's capable of, and that's already been so much. She'll get more midfield time as 2024 goes on, but she's one that will just take a lot of people by surprise on how dangerous and potent she can actually be in her role. And she'll work a lot of her opponents to the ground in 2024.
Good front and centre inside 50, certainly showed that throughout 2023. And going down to a Sandy match sim a couple of weeks ago as well, she looked really good and kicked a couple of goals there, where she was kicking goals in that way where she gets to the fall of the ball and is really clean, is able to evade tacklers and is really opportunistic as well, I'd say. So one to keep an eye on. Scout Howden, another one who's impressed you, a winger with a really efficient kick.
Yeah, and plays the win role really well, and she's really bolted down that craft terrifically as the years have gone on, and that's the role she kind of started in her 16s year. Just a really good meters gain player, one of the best kicks in the team in general, and a terrific two-way runner. So a lot to love with Scout. Didn't play all of 2023 with a bit of injury, but I think with a full preseason under her belt, and she's a really hard trainer, so she'll definitely reap the reward for the way she goes about her football. And I think another one that deserves to be in this top five, the way she's performed in her preseason and sort of came out of nowhere in 2023 with her football, is Olive McLean. Played up forward for the majority of the back end of the season, but a really fancy player, clever in front of goals and can capitalize. She'll dig in really hard in 2024 and is committed to what she wants, where she wants to be at the end of the year. So very exciting. And I guess the last two I want to bring up quickly, who we've seen a bit of in 2023 and the potential they have. Zari Mildenhall, she's father-daughter linked to St Kilda, so they'll generally be a bit of interest with her as the year goes on. Brings a lot of speed and just a super competitive player. And Tiger Daltrey, another one that has a terrific aerobic base, knows how to run the field really, really well, and her kick can generate a lot of drive inside 50. So I think we should be expecting a lot more from Sandy in 2024. Definitely got a good base, a full year under a new coach in Martha Cantwell. So excited to see where they land at the end of 2024.
Yeah, you summed that up really well, Nathan. We'll move to the final Vic Metro club in the Western Jets this season. In the Western Jets, Sierra Greaves we'll talk about first, obviously an AFL Academy player, and she's one who is so strong, and if you're going to sum her up in one word, I'd say she's a hunter. She's someone who can impact up forward, but when she's in the midfield, her hands in close are really impressive, and she's really tenacious, goes hard at the ball, and is that real defensive presence that every team wants.
100%. She'll build on that accountability in the midfield as well. She knows how to execute her game and meet the standards of what her team needs. Just a terrific offensive ability as well, I think. So really well-rounded, and I think we'll see the best of her in 2024.
She wins clearances as well. Like you say, she's got that offensive side to her game, and when she does win clearances, that's when Western Jets look up and about. She seems to be that barometer for her team that I guess her teammates really look to, and she is one that can really inspire her team and inspire some really good performances in 2024. She was excellent in the under-17s game as well. So she's one who I'm really keen to see how she does build, because there's going to be a lot of responsibility on her this season. And I guess her main sister for the Western Jets will be Lulu Field, who does have excellent game sense. She's a defender and was playing for Vic Metro as well as a bottom ager. So again, another one who has that clear class and regard in the talent pathway system.
A great distributor and just has great sprint off halfback, and she'll continue to build on that skill set as a halfback, but goes about it the right way, personality-wise as well. So a lot to like with her on and off the field.
Yeah, really good intercepting ability as well. Now, Nathan, you've found out a little bit about Lily Hudson, who is going to be new to the Western Jets program in terms of fully committing in 2024. What can we expect from her? Because some exciting times coming up for her, I understand.
Yeah, well, like you said, she's been in and out of the program as the years have gone on, and she did play late in 2023, but this will be her first full season under the Jets, and she's dominated at local level, and that's where her main football has been on show, where she was leading goal kicker for Williamstown. So definitely not afraid to get on the score sheet. And yeah, she's very exciting, has a bit about her. She has the capability as well to play as a key defender or a key forward, and I think we will see that as the year goes on. So exciting to see a lot of Lily in 2024, because we want to see Western build that depth and want to see them get some wins on the board. So those are probably the main three for Western. In terms of others we should keep our eye on that will come up as the year goes on, and hope they play some good performances.
Yeah, I mean, I guess girls like Hannah Brody, Jess Courtney, or Kennedy, you look at players like that who did get a bit of exposure last year, can they take a step forward and just show some glimpses? Because we know the Western Jets this year, I think they've been pretty upfront about it, that, you know, it's not as strong the class and the crop of players as what it, you know, is in some other years, but they just didn't get as much exposure last year, just the way the penny fell. But certainly they've got some overagers who are returning, so keep your ears out for that podcast, which will come out in a couple of weeks, about players who are returning as 19-year-olds. Players have gone to VFL and VFLW clubs. And also they've got some bottom ages headed by Alex McBride-Lone, who will excite as well. But in terms of 2006 born talent, you're probably looking at Sierra Graves, Lily Field and Lily Hudson, if she can really take a big step forward with her footy and translate that local form into the Coates Talent League.
That about wraps it up for the Vic Metro edition. Make sure you stay tuned next week, where we cover Vic Country's top five players from each club. And as I said at the start of the episode, if you want to go check out the boys' version, both those episodes are already out on all your listening and viewing platforms. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to stay tuned next Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our next Vic Country episode. Thank you all for watching. Check out our channel for more content, and we will see you next week.